All right. We're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy.
Book of what?
Book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to be reading in chapter 20. And if you're there, we'll be reading verses 1 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and say unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be terrified because of them.
Amen.
For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife, and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. And it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for the love that you show in our daily lives. We thank you for the peace and the liberty in our country. We thank you, Lord, that we have your word in our language. We can read your word, we can study about you, we can learn you, we can understand your will, we can understand who you are, we can understand what you desire of us and from us. And Lord, we're just so grateful that we have your word available to us. We don't have to go far to find you. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the blessing that they've been both to me and my family. I pray that you'll bless their seed sown. I pray that you'll give them a hundredfold for their sacrifice and for their generosity and for their kindness. I pray, Lord, that you'll give them another 100 years of existence, of being a light to San Antonio, to Texas, to America, across the world. I pray, Lord, that you'll raise up more godly men and godly women into this assembly, for this assembly, to go out into the uttermost parts of the world. Lord, I pray as we consider your word, I pray for grace, I pray for wisdom, I pray for faith, I pray for boldness. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch our hearts and move us. I pray at the end of the service, at the end of tonight's meeting, that we'll go out cleansed from this place, that we'll be, our hearts and our minds and our souls will be right with you. Lord, I pray that you'll stir us up. I pray that you'll renew in us a desire to serve you and to live for you and to please you in all things, in every way possible. Lord, I pray that you won't allow me to say a word too much or too little, but just the things that you would have us speak. And prepare our hearts to receive them, and I ask you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm pretty sure that if we were to have a poll about how you think this conference has gone, I think on that poll, everybody would say, yeah, it's gone great. That's why I don't trust polls, because we're not very honest. We just want to say something right. But, truthfully speaking, It's been a good meeting so far.
Yeah.
I've been blessed by every sermon, and I think it's been said several times that when Josh started it off with, it's not about me, it's about the Lord, I think that was the perfect kickoff to this meeting. And, furthermore, I truly believe that there are people in this assembly that have been moved and touched by the Spirit. Not emotions of the preacher, not this annual, you know, call to the mission. No, I truly believe that the Spirit has touched your heart if you in this auditorium and you're like wondering whether or not you should be that one that says, "Oh Lord, pick me. I'm absolutely positive of it. Now I can't prove it, but that's just how I feel and that's what I'm convinced of. I'm also sure that you want to go, you want to serve the Lord in whichever capacity the Lord will have you go, but you're a little bit fearful. You know, going to a different country, how are you going to support yourself? How are you going to learn the language? You know, what's the reaction going to be? What will your family say? What will your parents, what will your children say? What will the church, what will the elders say? You don't want to be that guy that says, you know, I want to go. And hear from the elders, well, you know what, actually we're looking for anybody else, you know. There's a little bit of fear involved. I'm truly persuaded that if you could overcome this fear, you would step out and say, Lord, send me. But funny thing about fear is that it arrests us and it keeps us in place. It paralyzes us. Have you ever seen one of those videos on YouTube? Those goats? Those are awesome. If you haven't seen the video, type in paralyzed goats, you know? And somebody walks up to a goat and goes, boo! And the goat just, it's paralyzed and falls over. It's literally paralyzed for several seconds. And this fear is paralyzing. You know, in a perfect world, in a perfect scenario, when the drums are being beaten to call us to war, every one of us would arm ourselves in the courage of the Lord Jesus Christ and go out and be bold as lions and strong as bears. We would be courageous. We would be full of passion. We would be full of faith. We would be fearless because we know that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ in a perfect world. But unfortunately, in reality, a lot of us have a soft constitution. A lot of us are just a little bit skirmish. A lot of us look at the job and the mission and the responsibility, and we say, Lord, send by another. We're afraid of the commitment. We might be afraid of the danger, depending on the country that you might go to. Sometimes we're afraid of the responsibility. I don't know if you've seen the movie Saving Private Ryan. There's a young man. He had enlisted in the army, and he was a translator and he drew maps. And his character was one that wasn't one that you want to follow. There's this one scene when, towards the end of the movie, he's walking up the stairwell, and he's got his gun with him, and he can hear in the other room his fellow soldier is fighting a German Nazi. And his partner, his fellow soldier, is crying out to him, help me, help me. And he's got his gun, and he just paralyzed by fear. And the German takes his knife and stabs him slowly as he's crying out for help. Help me, help me, come on, shoot him, shoot him. And the knife is slowly going through the heart until he dies. The German soldier stands up and walks over to the staircase, and there he is, paralyzed by fear. He's got his gun, but he doesn't know how to use it at this moment. He can't use it because of fear. Man, that's a sad scene. Unfortunately, that hits home for a lot of us. It's a reality for a lot of us. It's true for a lot of us. That's how we are. We are afraid. Now, we shouldn't be afraid because we serve God Almighty. But in truth, in fact, in reality, we are terrified. And so whenever the Lord says, "Who will go for me?" we just remain silent and don't go. I want to talk to you tonight about this fear. Because the Bible tells us in verse 8, he says, "What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted?" Am I talking to you tonight? Would you go if not for the fear? Is your heart calling out to you? Are you longing to serve the Lord, but you're faint-hearted, you're overwhelmed and paralyzed by fear? What is it exactly that you can do in light of this fear? Are we condemned to be sent home, sidelined, grounded, as damaged goods because we have this soft temperament, this soft heart, and we don't know how to overcome this paralyzing, traumatic fear that we experience? What are we supposed to do in light of this? And I just want to give you three propositions. Now, this isn't a help yourself, help your soul kind of a sermon, but they're just three things that I think naturally come out of this text that we read. And the first thing that I want to point out is that we have to realize, you need to realize that this arresting fear that you experience and that is holding you down is more than just a physical symptom. It's more than just a physical experience. It is a heart, it's a sinful heart symptom. It's a sinful heart symptom. Look with me in verse 1. He says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid." He says, be not afraid. Don't be scared. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't be paralyzed. Okay? That's what he says. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's not a help. How is that supposed to help me? I'm already paralyzed by fear. I'm already faint-hearted. How can you tell me, don't be this? Well, the first step to solving this problem, to getting out of this, is realizing that it's not just a symptom. It's not just the way that you were born. It's not just something, a way that you are. You know, some people are just bold and other people are just, it's not that. It is a problem of your heart. It's a matter of disobedience. And as long as you can just write it off and pin it off to, well, some people are happy and some people are poles. Some people are very healthy and other people are unhealthy. Some people are brave and, well, unfortunately, the Lord, he just gave me a tender spirit, a tender heart, a tender mind, and this is how I am. You're never going to overcome it. The Bible says when you go out and you see all of these dangers, you see the tanks and you see the helicopters and you see the jets and you see all of these things that can do you serious damage, don't be afraid. Whenever you fear, Whenever the fear paralyzes you, whenever it stops you from doing your duty, you're in direct disobedience to the word of God, to the commandment of God. Look at verse 3. The priest shall say unto them, "Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them." Did you notice the word that was inserted here? Let not. Very similar to John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't allow your heart to fear. Don't allow your spirit to be faint-hearted. Don't allow yourself to believe that, you know what, I can't do this. Because look at the host of the enemies. Look at how evil, look how big they are. Look how big the mission is. Let not, he says, let not your hearts faint. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Yes, I said it again, the book of Nehemiah. It is a wonderful book. Chapter 6, Nehemiah chapter 6. There was a certain fellow, his name was Shemaiah, and he was hired, verse 13 tells us, he was hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin. Shambalat hired this guy to go to Nehemiah, talk with him, counsel him, deceive him, trick him, install fear in him, and cause him to sin. Because just like with Daniel, the only way that God's people can be defeated is not through strength. It's not through might. It's not through wisdom. The only way the people of God can be destroyed, can be stopped, can be limited, If you can find a problem between the people of God and their God, that's the only way. No army can overcome the children of God. No might, no principality, no power can separate us from God. The only way, the only thing that can really cause us to lose a battle is if there's sin that separates God from the people of God. And that sin in this case is fear. Whenever you were born again, whenever Christ saved your soul, he gave you his spirit, right? What kind of spirit did he give you? He gave, well, the Holy Spirit. The spirit of what? He gave us the spirit of power. And he didn't give us the spirit of, he did not give us the spirit of fear. So whenever you're walking in the spirit of fear, you're not walking in the spirit of God. You're not walking in the will of God. You're not walking in accordance to the word of God. You're walking in the spirit of maybe the devil, maybe the world. You're walking in a spirit, but the Bible clearly says that it's not the spirit of God. So, one more verse, Matthew chapter 10. If you want to call out the verse that I'm going to read, that'll be impressive. Thank you very much. John, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. "Fear not them," Jesus said, "that kill the body. Because, or but they are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, I can't make it any more clear. God commands his children not to walk in fear of man. And so it's not just your constitution. It's not just your temperament. It's something in your heart is not aligned with God, so much so that you are arrested and paralyzed from doing the will of God. Now we see pictures, we see people in the Bible that were perfectly aligned with God, and they are our heroes. We look at a person like David, who against all odds went out there and says, "What, this guy?" He looked beyond the giant, and he saw the real giant, and he says, "Shwapa," and he killed him. No fear. Saul, on the other hand, was head and shoulders taller than David, and he was trembling in his armor. We all know the stories. We could go through them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Psh! Nebuchadnezzar, we're never, ever going to bow down to your image. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful person alive. Absolute sovereign. We will never bow. You can take our lives, but this know, O king, we will never bow to your image. Throw him into the furnace. No problem. I'll jump in first. I thought we threw in three. And there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Wow. These are people that don't have heart sickness. Don't have sin of fear. Perfectly aligned with God, knowing who their God is. Go back to our text, Deuteronomy chapter 20. Let me tell you something. This fear that arrests you, that paralyzes you, it's not a private issue. It's not a private matter. Look what happens. The brother sitting next to you, the sister sitting next to you, has total confidence in God. And he looks at you. And he begins to fear. Because he starts thinking in himself, he's thinking to himself, well, maybe he knows something I don't know. You know? I never understood as a kid, as a child, why my dad would always tell me, son, when you're in grandma's field over there on Atascosa, you're out there in the field, do not put your hand in those holes in the ground. I was like, what's his problem? Every time I put my hand into the hole, I pull out a toad or a frog. I don't know which one is in the land. I pull out a frog. And he was always telling me I was ignorant of the danger. And now I tell my kids, sons, do not put your hands into those holes. Why? Maybe I'm thinking to myself, maybe he knows something that I don't know. Look at the verse with me, verse 8. Chapter 20, verse 8. He says, the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Did you know that your sin doesn't just affect you? Yeah. You know, this sin of fear is like a canker worm, or it's like a leaven. It leavens the whole lump. And before you know it, everybody's fearful. You're embarrassed, so I'm embarrassed. You're fearful, I'm fearful. I'm terrified, you're terrified. It's like a virus. It's not just your problem. It's not a private matter. You know, the children of Israel, they lost at the Battle of Ai because somebody decided, you know what, this is a private matter. My sin is my business. You have no right telling me about my sin. The sin is infectious. Step number one. Realize that this spirit of fear is not of God. Realize it's not okay. It's not just your temperament. It's not just the way that you are. It's wrong in the eyes of God. Step number two. Look at chapter 20. And verse 1, look to God for help. Look to God for help. Chapter 20, verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee. The reason this fear is sinful is because by necessity, you're afraid because you've forgotten about God. You're going out in your own strength. You're Samson thinking that I've done it before, I was successful before, I've overcome the enemies previously, it's not a problem for me. And you go out and you have forgotten that it was the Spirit of God that was upon you that allowed you to pick up the gates of the city and allowed you to kill the 5,000 and allowed you these great victories that everybody in Israel is saying, wow, what is going on? And all of the Philistines are saying, who is like unto Samson? It wasn't his own strength. It was the Spirit of God on him. What does it call him? For the Lord thy God. We're talking about Jehovah God. We're talking about the Lord of hosts. We're talking about the Creator of all things. We're talking about Almighty God. We're talking about infinite God. We're talking about Alpha and Omega. We're talking about Jesus Christ, who went into the grave and bound the devil and destroyed death. And after 3 days, he came out of hell with his own prisoners. He led captivity captive. We're talking about Jesus Christ is with you. Look unto Him. He's the one that stilled the waters. He's the one that cleansed the lepers. He's the one that restored eyesight. He's the one that healed the lame and had them leaping. He's the one that rose the dead. Jesus Christ did all of these things. He's the one that's with you. And if He is with you, who can be against you? For the Lord thy God is with thee. Look unto God for help. He's the Lord of hosts. Look at else. Well, not only is He with you, but look at verse 2. And it shall be when you come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto thee. You know what God, who is with you, has done? He's given us spiritual counselors. He's given us priests and preachers and pastors and elders and teachers to teach us and to lead us and to guide us. He didn't leave us by to ourselves. He didn't abandon us at birth. He left us, Jesus said, I'll leave you a comforter. I won't leave you comfortless. In Polish, it says, I won't leave you orphans. I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you alone. Somebody will be with you. And God has given us gifts, teachers and counselors and preachers and evangelists to help us in our fight. We're not going out there by ourselves. Look what else God has given us. Look at verse 9. And it shall be when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. Not only did God give them teachers of the law and reminders that Jehovah God cannot be defeated. Jehovah God is the only true God, to remind the people that there is none else like God, that He alone is God. Not only did God give these people these spiritual leaders and guides, He also gave them warriors. You know, when you're going into battle, you want a warrior with you. You want a warrior with you.
That's true.
You know, if I'm playing pickleball, I don't want Matthew St. Bernard on my team. When I'm fighting, I want that big dog, Matt. I want him on my team. There's a tell. He has a tell. And he's a good warrior. Anybody seen his ears? That's the tell. Yeah? You want warriors with you. And you know, God has surrounded His people with warriors. We come here and we tell war stories. Things that God has done through these warriors. You're not alone in the battle. God isn't sending you out all by yourself and, oh, good luck, buddy. No, he surrounds us with captains and soldiers and officers and people that have seen real battle and have seen God move mountains and seen God destroy giants. Mexico, Poland, Guatemala, Venezuela. Come on, we can keep on talking all night. God has provided co-laborers to us. God has provided warriors for us. What else? Notice what he does. In verse 20, in chapter 20, verse 1, he says, "For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Look unto God, who is this almighty, infinite power, infinite wisdom, infinite everything good that you can possibly say. Look unto him, look what he's provided you with, and look what he's already done for you. Didn't he already achieve the hardest thing possible in saving you? Amen. Didn't he bring you to life? Now, why was it that Abraham wasn't afraid, wasn't worried about sacrificing Isaac? God said, I'll bring him back to life. God brought you back to life. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. And he brought you back to life.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, did you notice that our text says that if you built a house and you haven't consecrated it yet, go to the house because you might die? If you've planted a vineyard and you haven't eaten the fruit of it, go home, lest you die. If you've betrothed a wife, go home, lest another man have her, when you die. You know that God, in calling us to battle, foresees your death? What are you afraid of, dying? God says, yeah, you might die. But God already brought you up from life, up to life, didn't he? He already gave you life eternal, didn't he? I am the life and resurrection. He that believeth in me shall never die. Right? You see, Jesus Christ, our God who is with us, has already done an amazing work in our life. He brought the children of Egypt, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. One more time. Go with me to that favorite book of mine, book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. Where are we at? Chapter 4. And look at what he says there in verse 20. "In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us." You know what God provides for you? Not only is he this amazing God who holds, by the way, all things together by the power of his word. That's the God who is with it. All things are held together just because of his word. He says the word and it's held together. He says the word and it all falls apart. It's not recycling. It's not planting more trees. It's not you being a good boy or a good girl. It's Christ saying, it's not that time. It's Christ saying, it's that time now. All things are held together by the power of his word. Wow, what a voice. Wow, what a God. Wow, what a might. On our side, with us, for us, in us, through us. Wow, this is God. And he says, when you hear the trumpet, come thither. Did you know that when you go out to battle, you're not alone? There's always some support. There's always somebody behind you, behind the scenes. Do you appreciate the power of prayer? This book of Nehemiah is all about prayer. Every step he takes, he's praying. Do you appreciate the power of prayer? You know what? I've been on the field for 23 years now. I've been a missionary for 23 years. I can't believe it. I know, in my soul, I know people have been faithfully praying for me. There's been things that are impossible. They happen. And I find out, oh, this brother's praying for me. Is there a prayer warrior in this room? If I come to you and I ask you, hey brother, there's a situation. I'm going to blow the trumpet. I need some help over here. I'm being attacked. Can I count on you? Are you that guy? Are you that prayer warrior? Can, if I say, Brother Robert, can you name 5 prayer warriors? Are they going to name you? Is he going to name you? You see, the way that God set up His plan, His battle plan, His strategy is that you're not out there alone. God is with you. He sends you teachers. He sends you co-laborers. He sends you people staying behind, praying for you, holding up the fort. Wow. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord God. You see, this is why fear is a sin. Because the Lord God, who created all things and everything that is in the earth and everything that's in heaven and everything that is visible and invisible, whether they be powers or principalities, things present or things to come, He created all things by His power, for Himself, for His glory. He created them all and He holds them all. And that power, that God, that Jesus Christ is with you. How can you sin against that power? Last thing, point number 3. Go back, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Told you about Saving Private Ryan. That guy, the name was Timothy Ufan, I think was the character's name. Whenever the captain drafted him to join his party. He says, do you speak German and French? He goes, yeah. He says, okay, come with me. He says, where are we going? Well, we're going to go into France. He goes, yeah, there's a lot of Nazis there. I know. You know what he said? He says, I haven't fired my gun since basic training. Haven't fired my gun since basic training. No wonder why he was afraid, if you've seen the movie. No wonder why he was paralyzed by fear when he encountered the enemy. You know, all of those other soldiers that were routinely practicing, shooting, keeping sharp, being prepared, you know what they weren't? Afraid. Paralyzed. Arrested. You know what they did? They were bold as lions, and they fought, and they overcome, and they overcame, and they destroyed the enemy. You know why? Because they were prepared. All right, chapter 20, look at verse 5. He says, the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house? All right, so chapter verse 8 tells you, if you're fearful, stay home. It doesn't mean that you have to stay home forever and just sit and pout. There are some things that you can do while you're fearful, while you're trying to get your spirit right. There are some things that you can get right. First of all, you can get your home in order. How many times does the Bible tell us, get your house in order, for thou shalt surely die? Several times, right? You can look at a concordance, you can look it up. It says it several times. Get your house in order. You know, while you're dealing with fear, while you're in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind, and in your soul, desiring to call out to God and be that volunteer, but you're captivated and arrested and paralyzed by fear, in this moment, what you can do is get your house in order. Somebody once said, make your bed. Did you know that God is a God of order? He's a God of order. And if your house is is dysfunctional, if your house is a mess, if somebody were to come to your house and, man, it looks like a tornado went through your house, it tells you and it tells everybody else something about your spirit, something about your walk. Something is not right, because God is not a God of disorder. While preparing to be ready for the mission, while preparing for the battle, get some things in order in your life, in your home. Get those things straight out. How's the relationship with your father? How's your relationship with your daughter? How is your relationship with your sister, with your neighbor? Get things in your house in order while you're waiting to overcome fear. Look at number two. He says in verse 6, well, man hath planted a vineyard and not eaten of it yet. Second thing that you can do while fighting this fear, watch out for your diet. What does your diet consist of? You know, if somebody were to take part in a weightlifting competition, three things are very, very important. Surprisingly, sleep. You have to be well rested. Well rested. Secondly, you have to be warmed up. You don't just go into it like, okay, I'm going to pick up 500 pounds cold. You'll hurt yourself. You won't lift as, you will not lift as much as you possibly can. Warm up just a little bit. 500 pounds, piece of cake. Oh, for some people. If you're a bodybuilder, right? Third thing, food. Food is, the diet is many times the difference between first place and last place in competitions. There's this guy, in that world. His name is Matt Frazier. Look at his documentary. He won this world championship 5 times in a row. And he says, I was always close until I figured out that I cannot outwork a bad diet. You cannot out-hustle, outwork a bad diet. What does your diet consist of? I'm not talking about your physical diet. I'm talking about your spiritual diet.
There you go.
What are you feeding? Like, why is your heart so fearful? What are you feeding your heart? Are you feeding it spiritual food? Are you feeding it God's word? We're bombarded with advertisements, with crazy things right and left. Anybody have children? Oh my goodness, it is a difficult time to raise children right now just because of all the possibilities. What about your spiritual food, brothers and sisters? What are you feeding yourselves? He says, go home, eat of your vineyard. Eat of your own vineyard. The third thing that he says in verse 7, he says, what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Again, speaking of relationships. You know, you might be thinking about, okay, I'm gonna go preach the gospel. I don't know how I'm going to do it over there. Well, why don't you start practicing with Jerusalem? Why don't you start practicing with people that are in your circle? Yeah? You know, I highly doubt it that your mom is going to throw a stone at you. She might, depending on the country, I understand. But in Texas and San Antonio, highly unlikely. Practice with your mom. Start witnessing to your father. Witness and preach the gospel to your husband, to your wife. Preach it to your children. Start here. You work, right? Share the gospel, preach the gospel at work. You go to the park, right? Preach the gospel in the park. Start locally. Prepare here. Practice here. You know, soldiers, they don't begin shooting at enemies. What do they shoot at? Little targets. Little tiny targets, like lifeless targets. Once they get good, they go out to the field and bam, they can hit anybody easily. Where you and I, we think it's easy, it's very, very hard. Practice. Fear is a sin. When it keeps you from doing God's will. If God is speaking to you this week, if His Spirit, through the funds of this church, through the preaching of the missionaries, through the counsel of your elders, has spoken to your heart, and you are arrested by fear, and you will not respond because of fear, this is, you're putting your life in danger, and you're putting others in danger. You're not condemned to this state. There is something you can do about it. Confess it as sin. Look unto God and prepare yourself. Amen.